Would you take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter? John 14. Now, sometimes there are passages that are very familiar to you that you have read many times. And so for some of you, when I said turn to John 14, you already were thinking, all right, I know what that's about. And you probably do. But let me say this. Do you know the context in which Jesus has said these particular words? Because he starts in John 14, verse 1, by saying, "Let not your heart be troubled." That is, don't be so upset. Don't be so worried. Why would he say that? Because of what they have just heard. He has just told them that one of the disciples, think of that, of all the people in the world, these few disciples, he has just said to them, and you'll see it in verse 21, "One of you is going to betray me." Can you imagine how that sounded when it fell on their ears? After 3.5 years of being with the Lord and they interacted with this person, one of them is going to betray him. Of course, that is Judas, we find out. And then he says, "One of you is going to deny me." Let's pick up the context in chapter 13 of John, the last verses. Would you look starting at verse 36? Jesus has just said he's going to be leaving. And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can't we follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." And Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me 3 times. And then he says, because can you imagine if you were there, the expressions on their faces and what Peter was thinking and saying? Then the Lord says, "Now, let not your heart be troubled." So I got a question for you. Do you ever know somebody who professed to be a follower of the Lord, a close friend of yours? Maybe somebody you went to church with at one time? And now they have denied the Lord or they have walked away? And your heart is broken. I get it. It could be a dear friend, it could be a family member, it could be your son, your daughter, whatever. Jesus said, "Now don't let your heart be troubled." In this world, we are going to have all kinds of pain and suffering, Jesus said. But just remember, he said, you're not of this world, you're of a different world. Don't be surprised if people mistreat you or you go through hard times or disappointments or brokenheartedness, because it's going to be part of this sinful world. And so he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Let me tell you about a place called heaven. And if you can just put yourself back in with the disciples at that point, after what they've just heard, and how they feel for Jesus now to say, let me talk to you about where you're headed. And you'll be there before you know it. So he tells them about heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Literally, in the original language, you must also therefore believe in me, because he is God. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, twice, and here's my first point. Heaven is a place. Twice he said it. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, that means heaven isn't a state of mind or just some thing like that. It's a real place. Just like we have real places here on earth, there are real places. Heaven. I would put it this way. Heaven is a place on the map of God. Psalm 11, verse 4 says, the Lord's throne is in heaven, and he closely watches over the sons of men. That gives me a new feeling, or when I think about that right now, that he is watching as I preach the gospel here. He's watching you as you're living your life here. Because Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. The Lord's throne is in heaven, and he closely watches what's taking place among the sons of men. Heaven is a place. Revelation says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow, no more crying. Neither will be there any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Heaven is a place. Second, heaven is a prepared place. Look at verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, in verse 2 he also says, I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven is a prepared place. Twice he said, I'm preparing a place. Pre means before. P-A-R-E in the original language means to make ready. He's making ready right now a place for you and for me. And he calls it his Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions. He says it's his Father's house. And whatever this means, there are many mansions there. Dwelling places, literally. Well, that's a real world. When you listen to Jesus, he's describing a place, a real world. Heaven is a place, but it is a prepared place. And then he says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Great. He will come and receive us unto himself. Unto himself. That means we will be face to face with God. When the Bible describes heaven, it always refers to it as a place. Listen to this. I'll quote. 2 Peter 1:11 says, "And you will receive an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Heaven is a kingdom. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." We know what a country is. We know what a city is. And then he says in 1 Peter 1:4, "We are going to an inheritance incorruptible, reserved in heaven for us." Heaven is a place. Heaven is a prepared place. But heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Look at verse 4. "And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Christians, believers, his children, those who've been saved, go to heaven when they die. It's part of our inheritance. But heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. He's reserving a place. But I got a question for you. Do you have a reservation? Joy will remember this. Many years ago, we had never been over to certain areas of Florida, and we went over to the Mount Dora area. Oh my goodness, I thought I was in New England. It was so different from all the rest of Florida. Beautiful hills and all the rest, it was just amazing. So we went down by the lake and all, and there was this beautiful hotel and a big porch, and it looked right out on the lake. In the hills, and we just sat there, and we were just like amazed, and we walked around and looked in different areas of the building and the lobby and all that. And Joy goes, "Why don't we stay here?" I said, "Yeah, it'd be great." I said, "Let's just do it." She goes, so I went up to the desk and I said, "This is one of the most beautiful locations. This is just a It's amazing. This is what your hotel is, just gorgeous." She said, "Well, thank you very much." I said, "Listen, we'd like to stay here tonight." And I reached for my credit card, and she said, "Do you have a reservation?" I said, "No." She said, "I'm sorry, sir. If you're going to come into this beautiful place, you have to have a reservation." If you're going to go to that beautiful place, you have to have a reservation. It's a prepared place for a prepared people. Never will forget that. She stunned me. I wasn't thinking. I think I even said something like, well, is it filled or whatever? She said, sir, you have to have a reservation. When we die, the Bible says we depart to go to be with Christ. Paul said in Philippians 1, 23 and 24, he said, I'm torn between two things. I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ. Listen to this. Which is far better? Yeah. Nevertheless, for your sakes, to abide in the flesh would be more needful for you. I know you need my help right now here. But he said, I'd rather be in a better place. And it also says, when we die, it is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from our bodies and present with the Lord. So do you know where you're going when you die? Are you sure you have a reservation? Thomas said, we want to know where you're going, and we want to know how to get there. And Jesus clearly said, I am the way, the truth. You can trust what I say, and I'm the life. I can give you eternal life. Don't forget, there are three kinds of death. According to the Bible, there are three kinds of death. First, physical death. As long as we're in this body, we're absent from the Lord, we'd like to be over there. That's physical death. Our soul, right now, that part that's going to live forever, here we are, body, we have a physical part, but we have a spiritual part. That distinguishes us from all other living things, like animals and plants, because we have a part that lives forever. God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. When we die, our soul is separated from our bodies. But there is such a thing as spiritual death. That's when the soul is separated from God. Listen to 1 Timothy 5:6. Let me quote. Listen. But she, and it could be he, but he's just using an illustration. She that lives in pleasure is dead even while she's still alive. Some people, when you walk out of here today, you're going to bypass, go, or see, or maybe even talk to some people who are physically alive, but they're spiritually dead. They're dead even while they're living. That's spiritual death. The worst. Eternal death. And this is a verse, I never get used to reading it. These are the words of Jesus. In Matthew 10:28, he says, don't fear the person who can kill your body. Fear the person that after the body is killed has the power to cast you into hell. I wish I didn't have to say it, but if you have never, ever realized you're a sinner and on your way to hell. The Bible says the world is, and that's why they need Christ. That's why God sent Christ here to save our souls so that we'll have eternal life. These things are written, 1 John 5:13 says, to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Know for sure that you have eternal life. Wow. Heaven is a place. Heaven is a prepared place. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. I used to study about heaven. And I remember when I did all this research and I was studying about foundations of precious stone, gates of pearl. I was trying to picture this city, street of gold. And I thought, wow, I'm really looking forward to seeing that place. And then as you've heard me tell, they stopped me between classes at seminary, and the secretary told me, she said, you're supposed to go to the hospital right away. She goes, you have somebody in the hospital? I said, well, my dad was in for routine surgery, but he's been recovering. They said, you're supposed to go right away. And as I've told you, I went up to his room. I thought he was asleep. And I said, Dad, he didn't move. And the nurse tapped me. She said, you're his son? I said, yes. She said, did you see the doctor? I said, no. He's waiting for you right here, next door. And he looked at me, and he said, I'm sorry. And I didn't know what he meant. I said, sorry for what? He said, your dad is gone. He had just died. I didn't even get the chance to say goodbye. He was saved, by the way. You know what? For me, from that time on to this very day, heaven is no longer walls and white-robed angels and a foundation of precious stones and gates of pearl and all the rest. Heaven, for me, is people loved and missed whose faces I long to see again. And you've probably heard the song. If we could see beyond today as God can see, if all the clouds should roll away, the shadows flee, o'er present griefs we would never fret, each sorrow we would soon forget, for many joys are waiting yet for you and me in heaven. Thank you, Lord, that someday we'll see you, I'll see my dad again, my mom, and for all of us here, Lord, we look forward to heaven.